Today's daf is Erchin Daf Kavtet. We're going to start at the top of the page, but let's just review a little bit of the Mishnah. We started off with saying Chermei Kohanim don't have Pidyon. Okay, I want to just clarify. If you remember, there's Cherem to a Kohen, Cherem to the Bet HaKabayim. Now the Mishnah is going to have a machloket about what if you just stam say Cherem. If you say this item is Cherem LaShem or Cherem LaKohen, it's obvious what you mean, but if you just said Cherem, what did you mean? Before we get to that, I want to distinguish one important point. If you say Cherem is to the Kohen, then that's the first line of the Mishnah. Ein lehem pidyon, ela notnim lakohanim ketruma. It's a gift to the Kohen. So you can't redeem it. That's it. You're stuck. But if you say Cherem LaHashem, it goes to the Bet HaKabayim. And things that go to the Bet HaKabayim actually could be redeemed. I think yesterday I indicated that. Yeah. Even if it's Cherem, it can be redeemed because it's the Bet HaKabayim and they don't always have what to do with it. You know, it's just different. Okay? Okay, so here, let's look at Tosfot. Now I see Tosfot discusses this. If you look at Chermei Kohanim, so the Mishnah specifically says Chermei Kohanim, Ein Lehem Pidyon. So Tosfot says, Perish Charamim HaNitanim LaKohanim, Ein Lehem Pidyon. Okay, so specifically Kohanim. Kedichtiv Lo Yimacher V'Lo Yigael. And he says, here's his proof, Al Korcha B'Chermei Kohanim Ari. It must be that it's referring to Chermei Kohanim. Why? Da'af Agav D'Stam Aktiv, even though it just says Stam Charamim in that Pasuk. Let's say you give the Bedek HaBayim, and a Kohen can use anything for whatever he wants. Also, we're going to learn that as soon as the Kohen gets it, it becomes Chulin. He could do whatever he wants with it. So he could theoretically sell it. But if you give it to the Bedek HaBayim and they have nothing to do with it, you say, my couch is Cherem, what are you going to do with the couch in the Beit HaMikdash, right? Maybe it would be nice to have a couch in the Beit HaMikdash, but I don't know. Anyway, basically, that would be a good example of, if you have since the Bet HaKabayim has nothing to do with it. It's funny because I was thinking about this yesterday when I said that Cheramim don't have Pidyon. I was a little confused because I was thinking, well, what are you going to do if you give something to the Bet HaKabayim? So here you have it explicitly. Okay, I should have looked farther. So anyway, it seems clear that there's a distinction there between Bet HaKabayim and Chermei Kohen. So then we had a machloket in the Mishnah, and remember the structure because the Gemara is going to relate to this. Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera says, you can look at the chart also, I charted it out. Because of the pasuk, on the one hand we have a pasuk, kol cherem kodesh kodeshim u'lashem. So he says, stam charamim go lebet kabayit. But then there's another pasuk that says, kisteach cherem, the steach huzah is like a steach cherem, la kohen tiach huzato. It goes to the kohen. And there's also the pasuk that says, kol cherem Yisrael l'chayiyah will go to the kohenim. So the other opinion is to say that some charamim go to the Kohen, and that's Chachamim's opinion. Okay? Then we said in the Mishnah, what do Chachamim do with Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera's Pasuk, Kol Cherem Kodesh Kodeshim Ula Hashem? We said that they use it, okay, you can see it on the chart, that's why I charted it out this time by Pasukim, because we're going to have each one, what does he do with the other Pasuk? That it's Chala Kodshe Kodshe Val Kodshim Kalim. If you say, you already have an animal that's designated for a korban, and you say that animal is Cherem, it actually works, right? You might think it doesn't work because it's already sanctified. No, it works. And then we had a discussion at the end of the Mishnah about what value you would give, its full value, part of its value, depending on what item it is. So the Mishnah starts out, the Gemara starts out with bringing a braita. Tanu Rabbanan, and it's going to fill in the blanks because we have a little bit missing here. You can't really see it in the chart because the chart's all filled in. But the Mishnah related to what a Chachamim do with Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera's Pasuk, but it didn't relate to what does Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera do with Chachamim's Pasuk? So it's imbalanced, right? It's only got three of these boxes filled and not four, which would have been more equal. So Chermei Kohanim Ein Lehem Pidyon starts out like our Mishnah. V'notnim LaKohen. Okay, the first thing the Braita does is add this other halacha, which is, what's the status of the Cherem? So Charamim calls man shehem bebeit ba'alim. If I say this couch is Cherem and I don't yet remove it from my house, so it's going to be Cherem at that point. It's going to be Hekdesh, which means if I accidentally use the couch over on Me'ilah, right? That's the Me'ilah. I have to pay the value plus the Chomesh. I have to bring a Korban, Asham Me'ilah. So there, Kehekdesh L'chol Divrehem. Shenemar, how do we get this? Another thing, and here I just put on the last part of the chart, on all the way to the left, I added this other element, which doesn't really have to do with the Machlok, Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera, and Chachamim, but it darshins Psukim there, so they darshan Kol Cherem Kodesh Kodeshim U'la Hashem teaches you, right? Kol Cherem B'Yisrael Kodesh Kodeshim U'la Hashem, even though it doesn't really have the word Yisrael in the Pasuk, Okay, it's just, if you look at the Bet, right, the Bet tells you in the Masoret Hashas, it says, Bikra lo k'tiva, right, our pasuk is in Kolcherem B'Yisrael, it's just Kolcherem. Somebody got the pasuk wrong, I guess, when they were, you know, writing it. They were right. When they got the text ready for printing, you know, someone accidentally at some point down the years added the wrong word here. But Kolcherem Kodesh Kodeshim Ula Hashem. Okay, so what do you learn from there? Oh, it's Hekdesh, right? You also learn that it's Hekdesh. But now what happens? Nitana l'kohen, as soon as you give it to the Kohen, harehin l'chol debrehen kechulin, shenemar kocherem Yisrael l'cha yehiyeh. They're going to be for you. What does it mean for you? L'cha, l'cha, l'sorchecha, whatever you want to do with it. As soon as it gets to the Kohen, and interestingly enough, the Radbaz says that it's even chulin for anybody. In other words, it no longer has kedusha status, not only for the Kohen, but for anybody. Okay, so yeah, it's interesting, the Gemara doesn't get into this, but it says, on the one hand, it says, Heim bebeit ba'alim, and then it says, when you give it to the Kohen. So let's say you give it to the Kohen in your house, right? It doesn't get into all these issues, but we've seen this stuff in other laws. You know, at what point, when Dinei Rishuyo, Kinyan, right, at what point does it become the Kohen? What if he's still in your house? Is that still, you know, anyway, they don't get into that, but. Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera Omer, Stam Haramim Lebed HaKabayit. So now we get to the fact that there was this little imbalance in the Mishnah. Bishlama Rabbanan, we understand Rabbanan Shita all the way. Could it come a farshe tamayu v'tama de Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera? They explain their reason, their pasuk, their proof pasuk, and they explain not the reason of Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera, but they take his pasuk and they explain it to fit their shita. But Ella Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera, hai kisteh acherem my avidle. But what does Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera do with the pasuk, the proof text of Chachamim, which was kisteh acherem l'kohen t'yachuzato, showed that what? The cherem goes to the Kohanim. So how did they understand that pasuk? How would you explain it? So this is going to be a little bit more complicated, what they're going to do with it. Mibayle l'chidetanya, they need it for the following braita. Okay, the braita starts off, a different braita, quoting that pasuk. Remember the context of that pasuk. The context of that pasuk is someone who has a field, a regular steachuza. This was all of yesterday's shir. He has a steachuza. He's makdish the steachuza, right? Or I don't know if it was yesterday or it's been the past few days. He's makdish it. Then he doesn't redeem it, right? When nobody else redeems it. Then comes the yovel year. It goes to the kohen. Okay, that's the pasuk. And what does it say? Just like a stecherem, this thing, this field is going to go to the Kohen in the Yovel year. So, ma tamud lomar, what's it coming to teach you really? First of all, the pasuk could have simply said, lakohen tiachuzato. They didn't need to say, like a stecherem, it's going to go to the Kohen. So, why did you need those words? So what do they say? They say we're going to use those words, and they don't yet say how they're going to learn it from here, but we'll see soon. Minayin lekohen sheikdish stei chermo. Okay, what it's really coming to teach you is the case of a kohen. Okay, so let's continue our list here. We had someone had a stei achuza, they were makdishin. They didn't redeem it, it went to the kohen. Now what did the kohen do? He was makdishin. Sounds similar to the other cases we saw. Then what happens? He doesn't redeem it. Now what happens to the field now? Well, in a sense, you would think that the field goes to the Kohen, and for him, it's like a steachuza, right? Now, if it's like a steachuza, we could say one of two possibilities, right? Theoretically, you would say maybe, since it becomes his ancestral field, maybe it will go back to him in the Yovel year. On the other hand, if it's like a steachuza, what happens to a steachuza that you're makdish and eino podeh? It goes to a random Kohen and not to you. So, Minayin l'kohen shikdish stechermo, shelo yomar. He can't say, ho'il v'yotza l'kohanim, since what will happen to this field? I'm not going to redeem it. And what will happen to it? Well, it goes to the kohanim, right? So now, what kohanim would it go to? What would he assume? V'harehi tachat yadi. Well, look. I understand a regular person who's makdish steach whose ad's going to go to the kohen. It won't go to him. But I'm already a kohen. We talked about this the other day, right? I'm already a Kohen, so maybe when it reverts back to the Kohanim, well, if it's got a choice to go to any random Kohen, or it's got a choice to go to a particular Kohen, well, I already have rights to this. It became my steachuza in the last Yovel cycle. So you might say, Harei tacha yadi, it's really still in my possession, even though I was makdish it, no one else took ownership yet. Tehe sheli. V'dinu, and it's logical to say this, why? B'shalacherim ani zocheh, if I have rights, theoretically, to get a random person's field, b'shalatzmi lo kol shekein, wouldn't I have more rights to get my own field that I was makdish and didn't yet redeem? Talmud lomar, ah, here comes the word, kisteacherim, lakohen tiachuzato. Now, how does that help you? Well, we're going to say like this. There's a bunch of times where they do this, which is, it's called a limud called hareze bala lameh v'nimtza lameh. What does that mean? The pasuk was saying that the steachuzah, right, will be like a steacherem, okay, which means that we wanted to learn from steacherem to steachuzah. But in this drasha, it's called nimtza lameh, it comes to teach, v'nimtza lameh, and it ends up being taught. It's like a teacher, right? Comes to teach, and the teacher ends up learning from the students. It's like that. Which we, the pasuk sounds like it's coming to say we're going to learn from steacherem to steachuzah, but really it's nimtza lameh. We're going to learn from steachuzah to steacherem. What are we going to learn? Just like steachuzah, it goes to a random kohen, right? Whichever kohen is in that mishmar that week. It's not exactly random, but it's basically random. Therefore, here also, it's going to go to a random Kohen, and it's not going to go to him. Okay, so that's what they're going to say. So let's read it inside. So, really, we don't have anything to learn from Stecherem to Stecherem. Sorry, did I read it right? It came to teach, but it ended up becoming taught, right? It became the subject. We're going to learn from something else to it. Makish Stechermo, the Stecherem shall Yisrael. Masteach who is actually Yisrael here, they don't mean a Jew, they mean a Yisrael versus a Kohen. Just like in a steach who's Avi Yisrael, Yotzami Tachi Yadom, it chaleket lekohanim, right? It leaves his possession in the Yovel year if he didn't redeem it, and it goes to random Kohanim, the Kohanim in that Mishmar. Af steach hermo, Yotzami Tachi Yadom, it chaleket lechava Kohanim. Okay? So that was a very long-winded way to teach us what does Rabbi Yehuda ben Beterah do with the words kisteach cherem lekohen tiachuzato, if not to teach stam cherem goes to the kohanim? He uses it to teach the cherem that a kohen's makdish doesn't go back to him in the yovel year if he doesn't redeem it. Okay, now what's Avi's problem? Well, what, do chachamim not hold by this braita? If they hold by this braita, then that pasuk is not free. So, what do we say now? Be'idach, so what do chachamim do? Mi'cherem ha'cherem. Notice the word says, la kiste ha'cherem. It just could say, kiste cherem. The fact that he uses a hea yidia comes to teach you an additional halacha. So they're going to learn, number one, kohen, the stam charamim go to the kohen, and number two, they're going to learn this halacha about a kohen that's makdish his sadeh that he got in the yovel year doesn't revert back to him if he doesn't redeem it. Okay. Now, what about Rabbi Yehuda ben Beterah? Why couldn't he darshan cherem ha-cherem? And he needed to use a whole pasuk for this, which meant it wasn't free to darshan stam cherem goes to the kohen. Obviously, we're going to say, idach cherem ha-cherem lo mashmalei. He just doesn't darshan that type of thing. He doesn't think that an extra hey comes to teach a whole additional halacha. Now, we're left with one other thing that we have to use to fix the puzzle. What's still missing? If you remember, what did the Chachamim said? The pasuk kol cherem kodesh kodeshim ul Hashem came to teach you that it's chal al kodeshim kodeshim and on kodeshim kalim. Where does Rabbi Yehuda ben Beterah learn that halacha? Okay, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beterah, the chal al kodeshim val kodeshim kalim minale, because that pasuk he used to teach you sam charamim go beda kabayi. Sarah Laki Rabbi Yishmael. Okay, I'm going to leave you on hold right now. When we get to the bottom of the Amud, there's going to be a halacha, a Mishnah, for Rabbi Yishmael darshans that halacha in a different way. He's going to learn it from there. Okay, and we'll get there soon. Now, we're going to digress for a minute and go to Psak Halacha. Amarav, Halacha Ki Rabbi Yehuda ben Beterah. Okay, right, it's not exactly a digression. We're just now getting into Psak. So, Rav says, we possibly Rabbi Yehuda ben Beterah that Stam Charamim go Lebeda Kabayit. So now we're going to question Rav on this. The Rav, Shavik Rabbanan Va'avik Rabbi Yehuda ben Beterah, generally we hold like the majority. Why would they be holding like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beterah? Braita Ifchatanya, he has a Braita where it has the opinions reversed. Okay, right, take our chart and just switch the name, Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda, and it's flipped in the Braita. So now they're going to question, okay, wait, Shavik Manitim Va'avik Braita, when we have a Mishnah and a Braita that contradict, generally, we hold like our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is usually more solid than the Braita. which makes sense because the Mishnayot were more popular, so it makes sense they got, you know, they memorized them more, they spoke, you know, it just makes more sense that they would be more valid. Also, if Rabbi Yehuda and Nasi decided to put that in the Mishnah, it would be, you know, we'd hold like that. Rav matnita nami ipcha tane. Rav also flipped the words of the Braita. Okay? So, in other words, of the Mishnah, sorry. His Mishnah, and as well, it's true, we might hold like the Mishnah with the Braita, but his Mishnah also had the opposite nusach. Okay? He didn't have the same version of the Mishnah that we have. So now we say, wait. Okay, now what does it mean, really? He flipped. Now, ifchatane means he read the Mishnah using the girsa of the Braita. Okay? So now they're going to question, my chazita apchid manitin, mekame Braita. Nafik Braita, mekame manitin. If he was going to flip the nusach in our Mishnah, why didn't he flip the nusach in the Braita to match the Mishnah? Again, it's the same basic question. So what do we answer? Nafik Rav Gamre Gamir. He had a masoret. In other words, it wasn't like he just decided based on the version of the Braita, I'm going to change the version in the Mishnah, flip the names. No, he had a masoret. That was Chachamim's opinion, that was Rabbi Yehuda ben Bateri's opinion. So basically, now we have a problem though, because what happens? Rav said, I hold like Rabbi Yehuda ben Bateri. But really, Rav holds like Chachamim. It's just Chachamim according to his version. So we hachi, ki Rabbi Yehuda ben Bateri, ki Rabbanim b'vayle. In other words, he was really holding like Chachamim according to him. So it should have said, he paskins like Chachamim. So, obviously, what does it mean? Hachi kamar, this is what he said. L'mayda afchitu v'tanitu, for those of you who have a different girsa than me, halachak Rabbi Yehuda ben Bateri. According to your girsa, it's Rabbi Yehuda ben Bateri who we paskin like. According to my girsa, it's Chachamim. Okay. That was a long-winded way to basically say, very simply, that's what he said. Now we're going to have a case where they paskin like Rav, and then we're going to see that Ula paskins otherwise. Hahu gavra de achreminu l'nichsei b'pubedita. He was machrim his nechassim in pubedita. Okay, he says, my properties are going to Cherem. Atza l'kamei de Rav Yehuda. They brought him before Rav Yehuda. Amarle, he said to him, shkol arba azuze v'achil alayu v'shadinu b'nara. Filishtiru lach. He says, redeem them on four zuzim, and the money will get the kedusha. Therefore, what are you going to do with the money? Well, there's nothing to do. There's no Beit HaMikdash anymore. Throw it in the river. Okay? And then, all your nechassim will be permitted to you. Now, what do you see here? Alma kasavar sam charmim lebed kabayit. Why? Because if what did we start off with today? If you say they're the kohanim, there's no redemption. You would have to give them to kohanim. So in this case, Rabbi Yehuda paskined and said, oh, stam charmim lebet kabai, you can redeem them on four zuzim. We're going to have to get to why four zuzim, what's the magic number? Obviously, his property was worth more than four zuzim. Okay, so we're going to have to understand this. And the other, there's going to be two questions on this. Okay, number one question is going to be, kiman kishmuel da'amar hekdei shavamana shechililol shavapruta mechulal. Is it that he held like Shmuel, who says that if you take a hekdesh that's shaveh 100 zuzim and you redeem it on just a measly pruta, it works? If you want to say that's why, in other words, because that's why the four zuzim worked to be redeem all of his stuff. So, if you want to say like Shmuel, the problem is imer damer Shmuel shechililol lechatz. Shechililo. Shmuel said it if you already did it. But lechatchila mi amar, but he didn't say this is a good solution lechatchila to do, right? He only said if you already did it, well then it works. But he certainly wouldn't recommend it. So why did Rabbi Yehuda recommend to him to take four zuzim, a very small amount, compared to the worth of everything? So what do we answer? When Shmuel said that, Hanemile bizman shebeit hamikdash kayam, he was referring to when the Beit HaMikdash is there. Di'ikapseda, because there's a big hefsed. And that's why we're only going to allow you to redeem something with a pruta. And it actually is effective, but we're not going to allow you to do it because the hekdesh will suffer, the Beit HaMikdash will suffer a big loss. In this case, there's obviously no loss. You're throwing it into the river, right? It's not like the Beit HaMikdash is going to get your money, and therefore you could even, you could even suggest that l'chatchila. So we resolve the first question, which is, how did he do it on such a small amount if Shmuel only said b'dievet, because he only said b'dievet b'zman HaMikdash, this wasn't z'man HaMikdash, therefore l'chatchila you're allowed nowadays. Well then, ihachi, then that leads us to question number two, which is really based on question number one, which is what? Well, he said a pruta. So why did he do four zuzim? A pruta is just a small percentage of a zuz. So why wouldn't he just say, do it on a pruta? Especially if you're going to waste, right? We don't like to waste money and just throw it out for no reason. So what did they answer? Persume milta. He wanted people to know, because he didn't want people to think that his items were still hektish. If he had to take four zuzim, it would have been more noticeable. Again, it's a question, what really is more noticeable or not? In fact, he took four zuzim rather than a pruta, but I guess it was a more significant amount, which made it more noticeable to others, so that people would know that his items aren't hektish anymore. Okay, now, that was Rav Yehuda. So we see that Rav Yehuda held like Rav, who held like Rav Yehuda ben Batera, that Stam Charamin go lebet HaKabayit, and that's why he allowed him to do pidyon. But Amar Ula has a different opinion. Ula said, when he heard this story, if I were there, I would have made him give everything to the Kohanim. Alma kasavar Ula, stam charamim lekohanim. It must be that he holds, stam charam goes to the Kohanim. By the way, you can look at this a little differently. You can see that Rav Yehuda had the situation in front of him. And when you have a situation in front of him and someone's going to lose all their possession, now why he did it in the first place and said, all my stuff is going to Cherem. This also, by the way,
doesn't even exist.
Right, exactly. So it's a little strange to, you could see why Rabbi Yehuda wanted to be Mekel to get him his possessions back, right? You could see that. And Ula, who wasn't there, it's easy to say you could be Machmir when the situation isn't in front of your face, you know, so there's that approach also. Okay, Meitive. Now we're going to have a question on Rav, okay? Or a question also on, right, the story also, but really on Rav, who's poskening after the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed, and after, once there's no Beit HaMikdash, there's also no Yovel. So now we're going to have a list, and this is the bottom chart on the page, of all sorts of things that don't apply anymore when there's no Yovel. Ein Evrid Ivri Noheg, Ela Bizman Shai Yovel Noheg. Okay, all the following things don't happen when there's no Yovel. They don't exist anymore, these halachot. They're suspended. As long as there's no yovel, these halachot are suspended. And in each case, they're going to bring a pasuk, which shows that the psukim connect this issue with the yovel. What's Eved Ivri connected to yovel? Because if you remember, the Eved Ivri goes free, even if his 6 years haven't passed, he goes free when the yovel year comes. Shenemar, ad shnat yovel yavod imach. This should be achuza nacherim. Einste achuza noheg and elav zman shayovel noheg. We know this already. Shneimar vayetze biyovel v'shav lachuzato. Right. All the laws about achuza, not just makish, but anything about selling. All those laws, all right. Vayetze biyovel v'shav lachuzato. The land all goes back only when there's a yovel year. Right. And all the other laws. Ve'ein batei orechoma. We're going to get to this in the next parak. About selling land in a walled city. In that case, you have a year to buy it back. If you don't buy it back in a year, it becomes the stachusa of the person who bought it. These are cities that have walls from the time of Yoshua ben Nun. So, en batei orei choma, all those laws, eina noagim, elav zman shayovel noheg, shenemar lo yetze bayovel. Okay, these don't go back to their original owner in the yovel. You only have a year. If you don't buy it back in a year, well, you've lost your property forever. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Omer, Ein Ste Charamim Noagim Elav Zman Shayovel Noheg. This is the important line for us, because if Ste Charim is not Noheg, so then what was going on there in the story? Why did they say it was Charim? They should just say, oh, no Yovel, no Charim. It was irrelevant what he did. Shenemar, what's the connection of Ste Charim to Yovel? We already know this. We started with this pasuk today. Bayasa Debet Seitobi Yovel Kodesh Lashem Kis Ste HaCharim. There you see Ste Charim is connected with Yovel. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Ein ger toshav noheg, ela bizman shayovel noheg. The laws of ger toshav, what is that? That's someone who's living in the land, who's not Jewish, takes upon himself sheva mitzvot b'nei noach, certain basic things. He's called the ger toshav. We have a few mitzvot. We have to, first of all, lachayot oto. We have to help him to survive. Like, we have to help sustain him if he's struggling. We lo tonu oto. You can't be mean to him, say not nice things to him, can't tease him that he's a ger. You can't Ona'at mamon also, you can't overcharge him or buy his items for much less money. And you have to let him stay in the land, right? As opposed to the Sheva Amim, we're supposed to kick out of the land. If somebody stays as a Ger Toshav, then you keep them in the land. So all the laws of Ger Toshav are only Noagim, Bizman, Shayovel, Noheg. Now here there's no Pasuk. So Amar Abibi, he gives an answer. There's already word done with the Braita. Maitaima Atya Tov Tov. Is Xer Shava Ktiv Hacha Ki Tov Lo Imach, because it's good for him with you. That's the Eved Ivri Uktiv Hatam B'Tov Lo Lo Tonenu. Okay, and because of that, it says Tov there. It says Tov by Eved Ivri, which true for Eved Ivri is true here. Only Yovel. Okay. Anyway, back to our story. Lo kasha, it's not a contradiction, the fact that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says it doesn't apply stecherin in when there's no yovel, and why then was Rav Yehuda applying his cherem? Haba mekarke, haba metaltale. Metaltalin still applies. It's just stecherin, a field. Land doesn't apply, but the cherem applies to metaltalin. So now they say, Vahama said to Pubadita Bimakarke Nami Hava. There was also land included in what he was Makdish. I don't know how they know this, but we can maybe just assume he owned land. Or maybe they knew the story in the question, right? They knew exactly what the case was. So what did they answer? Hava Makarke de Chutzlaritz Kimitaltale de Eris Israel Nami. Since land in Chutzlaritz is irrelevant to laws of Yovel, so the fact that Stei Cherem only applies when there's a Yovel year, when we're counting Yovelot, is only in Eretz, on land in Eretz Israel. But things that don't have to do with land, metaltalim, movable items, and land in Chutzlaritz, which have nothing to do with Yovel, those still apply, laws of Cherem still apply to them, even when there's no Yovel. It's an interesting, right, these are, you would call these maybe second class things, right, both movable and the land in Chutzlaritz, and yet, right, we're machmir when it comes to Cherem, which is something that we kind of associate with the Beit HaMikdash and Kohanim in Eretz Israel, but yet we end up being machmir there. Rabbi Shmuel. Now we finally get to Rabbi Shmuel, who has a different way of learning that if you're makdish, something that's already kadosh, it works. Rabbi Shmuel omer, katuv echad omer takdish, v'katuv echad omer lo yakdish. Okay, where is this? By Bechor. Okay, Bechor, which is kadosh mirechem. It says, ach Bechor she'ivukar la'ashem b'beima, lo yakdish isho to'im shorim se la'ashemu. You can't be makdish it, which means what? You can't bring it as a korban, you can't sanctify it. On the other hand, another pasuk says, "Kol ha'bachor she'yivaleh b'brakacha uv'tzoncha zachar takdish la'Hashem." Take the male and makdish it to God. So, what do you see? One pasuk says takdish. One pasuk says lo yakdish. Obviously, they're talking about different things, but they seem to put them together. It sounds like it could be the same. Yafshar lamar takdish sharei kvar ne'amar lo yakdish. Yafshar lamar lo yakdish sharei kvar ne'amar takdish. Okay, so haketzad, how does this work? Makdisho ata hekdesh iloi. Let's start with what you can't do, and then we'll get to what you can do. You can't be makdish hekdesh mizbech. You can't take this animal that's a bechor and say, I'm going to bring this to the korban olah. No. You have to bring that korban to the kohen, and the kohen can sacrifice it. But you can't bring it as your own sacrifice for something else. That's usher. That's lo takdish. But you can do hekdesh iloi, and that's what we were talking about in the previous Mishnah. What can you do? You can say, I want to makdish this animal to the Beit HaMikdash, which really means you're makdish the value of the animal. And what's the value of the animal? Well, the value is whatever, there really is no value because the bechor doesn't belong to you. You have to give it to the Kohen. But since you have to give it to the Kohen, there's a little bit of value because theoretically, some Yisrael who has a Kohen relative can come over to you and say, listen, I'll give you X amount of money if you give it to my relative. Okay, which we talked about yesterday, right? It's a very strange thing. It's almost like sachar with, you know, Kohanim and stuff. It seems a little unfair, but they do allow it as long as it's not a Kohen doing it. Even a Kohen for his fellow Kohen can't do it, but they do allow it in unique circumstances. So that's called Tovat Hana'ah, and that's the amount you would have to pay the Mikdash. Now the Gemara is going to say, V'Rabbanan, what is he going to do with Takdish, Al Takdish, right? What do they do with that? So Rabbanan, Al Takdish Mibayle Lalav. He teaches that for the lo tase, right? There's a lo tase. If you take your animal and say, I'm bringing this on the mizbeach, there's a lo tase. Takdish, what does he do with takdish? Mebay lelecha detanya, minayim linola bechor be'edro shemitzvah lakdisho. When your bechor is born, there's a mitzvah to say, this is kadosh. Even though it's already kadosh, there's a mitzvah to say, this is kadosh. And if you don't do that, you're mevatal the mitzvah ase of takdish. That's the answer, basically saying these two things have nothing to do with each other. One is talking about using it for a different korban sacrifice, and the other is saying when the animal's born, you have to sanctify it. You have to call it kadosh. Shenemar zachar takdish. For Rabbi Yishmael, what does he say about that? Why doesn't he say takdish means, which really sounded like the pshat, right? You sanctify it, even though it's already sanctified. You kind of have to designate it as kadosh. Ilomakdish le lo kadosh. What, if you're not makdish it, it's not going to be sanctified? It's kadosh mirechem. As soon as it's born, it's sanctified. You don't need to say, this is sanctified. It's already sanctified. And since you don't need to be makdish it, right, since it's already going to be kadosh, there's no reason lahakdish. And therefore, he doesn't read the verse according to the way it seems the simple reading of the Mishnah would be. We're now starting the ninth parak. Hamocher et sadeh. Okay, until now we were talking about being machdish your stechuza, right? Your ancestral property, your machdish it, what happens, right? You don't redeem it, it goes back in the other year, or you redeem it, it becomes back in yours, or you, right, or you, someone else redeems it and it becomes theirs. So what now about selling a field? Hamakdish hamocher et sadeh b'shnat hayovel. Sorry. Bishat HaYovel, okay, when the Yovel is still in existence, because these laws won't be true, we already learned, laws of Stechuza don't exist when there's no Beit HaMikdash, when there's no Yovel. So, if you sell your field when there's Yovel, Eino Mutar L'Gol Pachot Mishtei Shanim, right? What did we learn? We learned this already, because it says, Shenemar B'Mispar Shnei Tvuo Imkor L'cha. What does that mean? It means that if somebody buys your ancestral field, you have to give him 2 years worth of using the land before you're allowed to buy it back. As opposed to the Arei Choma, where you have 1 year in which to buy it back, you can only buy it back in that first year, and otherwise you give up your rights. In this kind of field, you sell it, you're not allowed to buy it back within the first 2 years. Okay? Haitash nat shidafon v'yerakom. Now, we darshan in this fact that it said tfuot. We learned all sorts of things from it. We're now going to learn something else, which is, you have to give him 2 years of enjoying the fruits of the land. So now, what if it was a shnat shidafon v'yerakon? Okay, there was either terrible winds that destroyed the fields, or yerakon, there was some sort of mildew that destroyed the fields. Oh, shnat shvi'it, or it was a shemitah year where you couldn't plant the field. Eino olem min aminyan, this doesn't count for your 2 years. You have to give him 2 years where you can actually work the land and benefit from the land. Nara or hovira, but if the person just didn't plow the field at all or let it lay fallow, olelo min aminyan, well then that's his fault, that counts. That's, you know, he gave up on his rights by doing that. If it's something out of his control, then it's a different story. Rabbi, is it Eliezer or Elazar?
Eliezer.
Yeah, there's a bet there. What's the bet? Yeah, Elazar. Okay, so the Shita Mekubetz, it's Rabbi Elazar. Okay, it's either Eliezer or Elazar. Omer, Mecharalo, Lifnei Rosh Hashanah, V'him Elei HaPerot. Okay, most people say he's not actually disagreeing. He's just adding a different point, which is the way we count the years is by the date, whatever date it was, you get 2 full years and not years starting from the beginning of the year to the end of the year, right? Rosh Hashanah to the end of the year. So if you do it before Rosh Hashanah, v'him alei ha'perot, and it happens to be full of produce, hareze ochel mimenu shalosh tfuot b'shtei shanim, we saw this before, theoretically you could have a case where you get 3 years worth of crops within 2 calendar years, because you're getting the end of that year's crops, and then you'll get, before your 2 years are up, you'll get the beginning of the next year's crop, of the 2 years later crops, and obviously the middle year you get. So it's basically trying to tell you that we count this mei-lei, right, from day to day and not from year to year, starting from Rosh Hashanah or some other random date. Or not random date, but, you know, we have all those dates. Things are Rosh Hashanah for certain things of the year, Aleph Be'elul or Aleph B'Tishrei or Aleph B'Nisan, or, you know, different dates that could be considered, or Tu B'Shvat, which is Rosh Hashanah L'Ilanot, right? There's certain dates that are Rosh Hashanah for certain things, but it doesn't work like that here. Gemara starts off, Hamocher Sadeu B'Sh'at HaYovel. Eino Go'el Lo Katani. Notice it doesn't say, you don't redeem. It says, Ela Eino Mutar Ligol. You're not allowed to redeem. It doesn't mean you don't do it. Don't do it means, okay, you don't do it. But Eino Mutar means it's Asur. Alma Kasavar Isura Nami Ika. Okay, it must be that it's also usher to do this. It's forbidden to buy back your land within the first 2 years. Da filu kirkushe zuzi nami usher. Not only is it usher to buy it back, but you can't wave money in front of the buyer, the guy who bought your land, right, and say, hey, you know, take this money and I'll buy it back. You're not allowed to kind of tease him with that. And what it means that even if the buyer agrees to sell you back the land, you might have thought you have to let him benefit, but if he decides to say, I don't really care, it would be allowed, but no, it's not allowed. Okay, and we're going to go so far as to say, Ela afilu lokeach, no, I skipped. Okay, we'll get back to that soon. Velo mibaya mocher, dekai ba'ase, and not only is it the mocher who is not fulfilling a mitzvah ase when he does this, if he were to buy back the land, right, the seller buys back the land he sold, he would be mevatal mitzvah ase dechtiv b'mitzvah shnei shvuot im kor lecha. You have to sell it for him for 2 years, And you didn't in this case because you sold it, but then you bought it back. So you'd be messing up this mitzvah d'aseh, not being mekayim the mitzvah d'aseh. Ela afilu lokech nami kai ba'aseh. Even the buyer who bought it from you, if he decides to sell it back to you within 2 years, he also is doing something wrong. He's also, again, neither of these are doing a lo taseh. It's not a, they're not violating a negative commandment, which means they wouldn't get lashes for this. But they're both not fulfilling a mitzvah ase. Because where does it talk to the lokach? It says, shanim tikne. Okay? B'mispar shanim achar hayovel tikne me'et amitecha. You're supposed to buy the land based on how many years are left till the Yovel year, which means you're supposed to buy it based on years. Now, what do they learn from this? Shanim is plural, 2. You have to at least buy it for 2 years. It's not exactly the pshat of the pasuk, but that's what they learn, that he's also forbidden. It's also forbidden for him to sell it. Okay, so both end up with, you know, doing something wrong, the leka, right? There aren't shanim here because you didn't buy it for years. Itmar. Now we get into a machloket that we referenced earlier, a few dapim ago. If you remember, there was a machloket, Rav and Shmuel, about what if you're machdish a field in the Yovel year itself. Rav says it's effective, and Shmuel says it's not effective. So they have the same machloket, which we said then, and here we're going to see it, about someone who sells a field in the Yovel year. Hamocher sadeu b'shnat ha-yovel atzma. You follow that when we're learning the laws of Steph Huzad, there's 2 tracks. There's 1 track if you're selling it, and there's 1 track if you're makdish it. So we dealt until now with the makdish, now we're dealing with the selling. Hamocher sadeu b'shnat ha-yovel atzma. Rav amar mechura v'yotza. It's sold, but it immediately reverts back to its original owner. Ushmuel amar eina mechura kol ikar. It's not considered sold at all. It's as if you did nothing. My time at Shmuel, we're going to have to deal with later, so what happens to the money? Okay, does the guy get his money back or not? Okay? My time at Shmuel, what's his reason? Kavachomer. Uma mechura kfar yatzah. If it was already sold, it would leave in the Yovel year and go back to its original owner. So she'ena mechura, if it wasn't sold when the Yovel year hits in, einu din shaloti macher, obviously you shouldn't be allowed to sell it, right? If it was already sold, it's going to revert back to its original owner. So if it hasn't been sold yet, of course it's going to go back to its original owner. You know, and it shouldn't even work, we should say. Because Rav agrees it goes back to its original owner, but he agrees there should be a sale. Ula Rav, lo amrinan kavachomer ki agavna. Rav says, I don't agree with this logic in the kavachomer, right? I can argue the logic. So then they say, wait, Rav, you don't hold by a kavachomer like that? We'll show you a case where there's a kavachomer like that you don't seem to disagree with. Bahatani, doesn't it say in a braita, yachol yimkor adam et bito kishihi na'ara. Now we get to a man selling his daughter to be a Jewish maidservant, which, remember, what's supposed to happen? When she becomes of age, she becomes a gdola, an ara, right? That in-between stage, he's supposed to marry her. If he doesn't marry her, then she goes free. So, you might have thought a person could even sell his daughter when she's an ara. Amarit kavachomer, the brayta says there's a kavachomer. Uma mechura kvar yotza, right? If she would have already sold, at this point, she'd leave. She'd be freed. Now that she's not sold at this point, wouldn't it be obvious that she can't be sold, right? If she was already sold before, she would go free at this point, so of course you can't sell her. So isn't that the same kind of kavachomer? And then, Rav, how could you not darshan this kavachomer and say that it should work, that it shouldn't work in the Yovel year, just like it doesn't work for the Samayivriya? So, no, there's a big distinction between the 2 cases. Hatam lo hadra mizdapna. At that point, that's the end point for the girl. Once she's in ara, from there on for the rest of her life, she can't be sold anymore. But hacha hadra mizdavna. But in this case, it could be sold after the Yovel year. It just can't be sold before the Yovel year. But in the Yovel year, it can't be sold in the Yovel year. But once the Yovel year passes, it could go back to being sold. So therefore, Rav says, I can't do this kavachomer because it's not like this is the very last point and nothing can happen after this, and that's why we're going to say this ends and no possibility. No, it actually could continue, and therefore I would say that it is a good mechira. Meitive. Now we're going to have a question on Rav. Achar ha-yovel shanim tikneh. Okay, so now, what do we learn from this word, this sentence? Okay, the pasuk says, where is it? Lefi b'mispar shanim achar hayovel tiknet me'et amitecha b'mispar shnei tefuot yimkor lecha. Right, we calculate the years after the yovel. Now, the way the brayta first understands achar hayovel is immediately following the Yovel year, meaning the first year after the Yovel. So, achar Yovel shanim tikneh melamed shemochrim samuch liYovel. We understand the year after the Yovel year you can buy. Muflag min haYovel minay. And how do we know that you can buy even in the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, v'chule years of the Yovel cycle? Talmud Lamar, the other pasuk says there, the next pasuk, lefi rov hashanim tarbe miknato, lefi ma'at hashanim tamim miknato. What does that mean? Well, the price depends on how far you are from the Yovel year. Well, that obviously means that you can obviously buy throughout the Yovel cycle. Okay, so far we're not connected to our issue yet. But now it says, okay, so all, right, what did they talk about so far? After the Yovel year, you can buy it. And the years from there leading up to the Yovel year. But what's excluded here? U'bishnat ha-Yovel atzma lo yimkor. But you can sell it in the Yovel year. That seems to go explicitly against Rav. V'im machar ena mechua. And if you did sell it, it's not a good sale. So, amar lecha Rav, what did Rav explain? How would he explain this braita? What does it mean, ena mechua? Ena mechua lemisparshnei tfuot. Ava mechua hi v'yotzah. It's not sold for the 2 years, because look at the end of that pasuk, right? It says, "Kim mispart v'od humocher lach." It gets sold to you for 2 years. Ah, that's the part that doesn't happen if you sell it in the Yovel year. It's a good sale. It's just then it reverts back to its original owner, meaning you lost your money, and you don't get the 2 years. Okay? So now they say, wait a minute. V'iz debune mizbene. According to Rav, that it does work. Why don't we say the following? And they're going to show a precedent for this. Why don't you say, it stays in his reshut throughout the Yovel year, and after the Yovel year, he gets his 2 years. The 2 years start clicking after the Yovel year, and then because he sold it in the Yovel year, and really it should go back to its original owner, after the 2 years elapse, it reverts back to its original owner. Why would we suggest this? Milo Tanya, doesn't it say in a braita? Achla shana achat lefnei ha-yovel, mishalmim lo shana acheret achar ha-yovel. You're supposed to get 2 years. What if you end up with only 1 year before the Yovel year? So what do we allow you to do? You get it for the year after the Yovel year also, and then it goes back to its original owner. We basically suspend Yovel for you for an extra year. Okay? So what? So why wouldn't we say the same thing? If Rav says the mechira is a good mechira, the sale's a good sale. Theoretically, we should say, you get your 2 years after the Yovel, and it reverts back to the original owner in the Yovel year. So they say, no, no, no. Those two things are different. Ha tam nachit la'achila, ha chalo nachit la'achila. There, you already got to, you got a year of eating. So we allow you to get another year. In this case, there was never any years of eating allowed to you. Therefore, we don't give you the years after the Yovel year. We only make a special dispensation if you're kind of in the middle of it. Okay, last thing for today. Last topic. Amrav Anan, Shmat Minei Demar Shmuel Tarte. I learned two halachot from Shmuel. Chadahach, one is this halacha, that you sell in the Yovel year, it's not a good sale. Beidach, and another thing I learned from him, Hamocher Avdo Le'ovei Kochavim, if you sell your Evek Nani to a non-Jew, which you're not allowed to do because the non-Jewish slave already is a semi-Jew, and when he goes free, he's supposed to keep mitzvot, and now you're selling him to a non-Jew, he won't be able to keep mitzvot. Oh, Bechutz Alaretz, Or it should be lichutz laaretz. You sell them to someone in chutz laaretz, which also, if you're living in Eretz Yisrael, you're not allowed to sell them to someone in chutz laaretz because you're preventing him from doing all sorts of mitzvot. Remember, we have that whole sugya about even a non-Jewish slave can convince his adon to move to Israel, right? Like all sorts of things about that, or not to leave. Or b'chutz laaretz yatsa lechevut. He goes free. You're penalized for this, which means what? The sale is not a good sale. Okay, in both these cases, so they're both very similar. But chada hadres vine, v'chada lo hadres vine. In one case, I know the money goes back. In other words, we undo the sale as if the sale never happened, and everyone gets their money back. And in one, lo hadres vine, the money doesn't go back, and obviously it's going to say v'lo yadana hemine, and I don't know which is which. So I'm Rav Yosef nechse anami detanya b'braita. He says, I'm going to tell you which one it is because I have a braita. It's interesting. Usually they don't say braita. Okay, it's weird. Usually they just say ditanya, which means we learned in a braita. But anyway, it says from the following braita. Hamocher avdo lechutz laaretz yatsa lechevut v'tzarich get shechror mirabo sheni. The new adon has to give him. We force him to give him a get shechror. Shma mina midekarile lesheni rabo alma lo hadres vine. It must be the money didn't go back because we call him the new adon. It's as if he did acquire him. Meaning the money went through and he doesn't get his money back, and unfortunately he's penalized. He now is stuck having to free his Eved, even though he purchased him and he won't get his money back. So now they say, so therefore, in this case, it must be, according to Rav Yosef, it's not a sale, and not only is it not a sale, no money, right? Any money that was that they used goes back to their original owner. Rav Anan, now why didn't Rav Anan say this? Why did he say, I don't know this? Didn't he have a braita? Braita lo shmiale. Okay? Now we're just going to finish with this last point. Why are we going to assume that that's what he said? It means it's not sold in the Ma'ot Chuzrim. Dilma eina mechura u'ma'ot matana. Maybe you would say it's not sold, it's not a good sale, but the money he gave him is actually gift money. Okay? Meaning, it didn't work to buy the property. Right? You give someone money in the Yovel year to buy his land. So, it doesn't work, but maybe I was really just giving him a matana. One could see, by the way, that the best way to give a matana, people don't like getting gifts. So you could say, oh, I'll buy your land. And then, oh, it turns out, oh, couldn't buy your land. Okay, well, the money's yours now. It's like a good way to get someone money if they don't want to accept the money. How do we know that that theoretically could work? Midi dahava, just like a mekadesh achoto. Someone who is mekadesh's sister, it doesn't work. It's not effective. You can't be mekadesh your sister. But what does it say here? De'itmar mekadesh achoto, Rav amar ma'ot chuzrim. Rav thinks the money reverts back. Ushmuel amar ma'ot matana. Okay? So Shmuel says the ma'ot there is a gift. Okay? So we're going to leave it here, which is, why did he say ena mechura ma'ot chuzrim? Maybe it should be the ma'ot or matana.
Okay. The that he married her with, or
the money that he betrothed her with end up becoming a gift to her. Since he can't betroth her, they're a gift to her. Okay, we'll leave that as a question as to why don't we say that Shmuel, if the mechira works, it's just the mechir doesn't work, but the ma'od are viewed as a gift, just like in the other case.